This is Crime Binge.
Okay. Are you ready to podcast?
Oh, I was not going where you were going. Yeah. I am ready to rumble. I am not ready to podcast.
Well, too bad, because the thing we're doing today is podcast.
Oh.
What even is a rumble?
It's
fighting.
Yeah.
Rough and tumble rumble.
Roughin' and tumblin'. Roughin' and toughin'.
I think Taylor might be home. Who knows? Who's to say? She can sense him because she's a fucking psycho. No, but they both straight up know what his car sounds like when it beeps, because they will, like, be in the bedroom and sprint out of the bedroom to go wait at the door.
Jesus.
And they know what he sounds like when he runs up the stairs, because he is so loud. Did you just hear that?
Yeah.
That's Taylor. I 100%.
Jesus. Yep.
Loud motherfucker. Yep. Hello.
Hi.
Welcome to Crime Binge.
This is us.
This is Morgan.
This is Sarah.
And we're here.
And we're ready to podcast. With the 20 minutes of editing
that are already,
that we have to edit out of this.
Yeah.
So what are you binging this week? I wonder.
I'm gonna rant. Do you want me to go first?
You can go first.
Okay.
I'm gonna wrap it up with a quick one sentence.
So, Game of Thrones.
Keep in mind, we're recording this 2 days after the season finale.
We have been on a journey with Game of Thrones.
And this has turned into a Game of Thrones podcast.
And I have literal tears in my eyes right now.
Jesus fucking Christ.
How dare they, first off.
She's crying. She is straight up fucking crying.
The person who they appointed to rule over the Iron Throne. Sarah hasn't seen it, so I'm keeping it as vague as possible.
And also not to spoil it for anyone else.
Yes. Was not in an entire season of this show. Not like at the beginning. Like halfway through. They weren't in season 5 of the 8 season show.
Were they on a special journey to find themselves?
I guess. If you want to call it that. I think it's... Never mind. If I go into any more detail, I'll ruin it. But just my question is, how dare they?
How dare they?
I was going to go on a much longer rant, but when I felt tears come to my eyes, like the true sociopath. Actually, not sociopath. Nothing. Because neither of them technically have
obsessive
feelings.
Obsessive but... person? Is that...
Yeah, just a real fangirl. But I'm not gonna, like, creep into anybody's house and, like, try and tell.
You should.
Except for maybe Emilia Clarke, because she's a babe. 10 out of 10.
Sophie Turner's also a babe.
Sophie Turner is also a babe, but, like, within the realms of the show, she was a child when the show first started.
Okay.
So it's sense. Weird to think her and, like, the girl who plays Arya, mm-hmm. Maisie Williams, in terms of being attractive, personally. They're both legal now.
Yeah.
So, you do you, girl. Go marry a Jonas brother.
Right?
Like we all wanted to when we were that age. What are you binging this week?
Literally nothing. No. I think what I've been binging for, like, a couple of weeks, and this is not a fucking brand deal, but goddamn HelloFresh.
You're not wrong.
I love HelloFresh. I'm getting a box tonight.
Yeah.
And... it's great, because before, I didn't cook very often because I had a roommate who cooked, but when I would cook, I would make the same, like, 5 meals.
And yeah.
It was chicken Alfredo, tacos, spaghetti, orange chicken, like,
yeah,
trash. but, like, now I've made pork chops. I'm making meatloaf this week, like,
yeah.
I've done things that I have never done, and they turn out fucking great.
Yeah.
So I'm stoked about HelloFresh. Also, thank you for Morgan for hooking me up with it.
You're welcome. This sounds so much like a brand deal.
I know it does.
But this is our fifth episode. There's no way in fuck that we would have a brand deal with HelloFresh by now. But we do both love using it. If you want to sponsor us, shameless plug.
Honestly.
But that's a good one.
Yeah.
Because it's literal food that you're binging.
That is true.
You know?
I eat a lot of it. So this week.
Yes.
We are going back to a murderer instead of a cult.
Yeah.
Keep in mind, Morgan and I, especially me, are very much from America. And this is a German story with lots of German names and German places.
That we will fuck up.
Yes, I will not pronounce them well. I even had to look up how to pronounce the name of the person we're fucking doing.
Yeah.
Because that's it's terrible.
I didn't even look it up. I was just going to wildly incorrectly pronounce it.
But the person that we're doing is Joachim Kroll.
Joachim Kroll, who, if you Google some of the worst serial killers, comes up, right?
A bug just flew on my face.
That's disgusting. I live in a den of... Wait, I can't. Den of sin is what I was trying to say, and I just could not stop saying den. But yeah, we're going to cover Joachim Kroll, who is known for being a cannibal.
Yeah.
So he's super gross.
And what were some of his nicknames?
I'm not going to be able to pronounce any of these. I don't even know why I put them in here. Let's actually...
Let's look it up.
20 minutes later.
Ruhr.
Ruhr?
Ruhr.
Hold on.
Ruhr.
Sounds like a 5-year-old saying the word rule.
It sounds like they're saying roar. So roar cannibal. Roar hunter. And Duisburg Maneater were some of his nicknames. Also, just as like a general warning, most of his victims were children. So we are going to be talking about graphic things in regards to children, if that's not something you want to hear. Because I recently was talking to my friends who also love true crime, but they said that it's been really hard for them to listen to it since they've had kids. Because, like, if it involves a kid, they're just, like, done, can't listen to it, not about that life.
That's kind of crazy.
Yeah.
I didn't ever think of it like that.
Yeah. I mean, I don't have kids.
Yeah.
I have cats. I don't want to hear things about people killing cats.
I don't want to hear things about people killing dogs.
Yeah.
I think it's a little worse than cats.
That's so rude, Sarah.
Most
How
killers.
How dare you compare cats' lives to dogs' lives? You like my cats, goddammit.
I do like your cats. I don't like most cats. But I do feel as though most people that become serial killers start off killing cats rather than dogs.
Yeah.
So you do hear about it more frequently.
I think it's because, like, to be fair, dogs bite a lot harder.
Yeah.
So a cat's a lot easier to take down.
Yeah, you can just fucking grab it with one hand.
Yeah.
But anyways.
That was dark. We're Walking not
cool
serial
doesn't kill
killers.
Any cats or dogs that we know of, but
no, he does.
Oh shit! I did not.
It's not
that.
In here, but I remember seeing something like the first time he killed an animal or something. I think it was a cat that he took a piece of its flesh to eat.
Oh, see, I heard something about a pig.
Maybe it was a pig,
and I wrote about that in here.
Okay,
a little bit.
We put in a lot of time and research for this, guys. Don't let this fool you.
Our pages are full. Okay, so a little bit about Joachim Kroll.
Also, sorry to interrupt you. I'm so sorry.
A bitch.
There's not a ton on this guy.
Yeah, we had to look through like a minimum of 10 different websites to find everything that we found, which isn't a lot.
And it's not as much as we usually last week, obviously, it's an ongoing case, so there was, like, we could have done probably 3-hour-long podcasts at that point, but, like, we usually have a lot more background knowledge and, like, actual research available to us about them. But when you see someone
on like one of the craziest serial killer lists, yeah, who's also a cannibal, you gotta do them.
Exactly. So, and you know,
did not mean to interrupt you.
You're fine. In the early days, you know, we're gonna get to more and more
extensive, yeah, also serial, like, killers. He was born in 1933, so
yeah,
records aren't great, especially in Germany.
That's true. So a little bit about Joachim Kroll and his early and personal life. He was born the son of a miner in Heidelberg, Germany on April 17th, 1933. And he was the sixth out of nine children.
So, did you notice when you researched that he varied from the sixth to the ninth last child?
I did not.
Yeah, on like every other website I was on, they said he was a different one of the last children.
Oh, wow. No, I was just going to say, like, God damn. Imagine having nine fucking children. Sounds terrible.
Yeah. Well, my mom's one of seven. Isn't your dad like one of eight or nine?
He's one of seven.
Okay, yeah.
But like, oh.
Too many. No. I don't even want the one.
Right?
Nine is far too many.
All right. So his father spent World War II in Russia and ultimately became a prisoner of war for a few years. And so Joachim fled with his mother and his six sisters, which is a lot of girls,
yeah,
to West Germany. And they lived there for 10 years.
And I think his dad died during the being a prisoner of war.
Well, shoot.
I think. I can't remember. Because I remember since his dad was kind of a dick to him, he didn't super care when he died, that, yeah, like, his mother was the one he cared about.
So he was kind of stupid. But because he only had schooling up to the third grade, and it was later found out that he only had an IQ of 76, which is like a third grader's IQ.
Yeah,
which kind of makes sense. As a child, he was considered weak and wet the bed frequently, which is one of the token like things for serial, yeah, killers. And his family was poor during the hard times in the country during the war, which everyone's fucking poor. And his mother died on January 2nd, 1955, when he was 22. He found it difficult to approach women his age and felt as though they made fun of him.
Which, and if you have the mentality of a 76-year-old.
Yeah.
If you have the intelligence of someone with an IQ of 76, you probably won't be able to communicate with people your age
effectively.
Yeah. Which are probably why most of his victims are younger, unfortunately.
That's true. And as an adult during the times of his murders, he was well known to the children in the neighborhood, and they used to call him Uncle Kroll.
Gross.
And he would take them on walks and give them candy and play with dolls with them. And then afterwards, he would play out his violent and sexual fantasies with these dolls that the children had just got done playing with.
Love that.
Yeah. So that's a little bit about Joachim Kroll.
Yeah. Just to like set the base for the kind of guy he is.
Just to set the mood.
So his actual murders, he began killing shortly after his mother died. And a lot of people saw this as like the catalyst of him like to begin killing.
Yeah.
Which, if he's that attached to his mom, that could have easily set him off. Because he, yeah, has, like, pretty long cool-off dates in between his murders.
He does. And, so, like, a lot of people do begin killing, like, when they have a very large event in their life, like someone dying.
Yeah. And he often blames his tendency for murdering for seeing a bunch of pigs being slaughtered, which, to him, for some reason, stuck out in his mind and intrigued him. Around 1960, Kroll also went to Duisburg and found work as a toilet attendant. After that, he worked for Thyssen Industries, and at this time, he resumed killing people. Altogether, he had a killing spree of more than 20 years, and it resulted in the death of 13 women and girls, and I think he killed one man.
Yes.
Yeah. He killed a wide range of women from all ages, of all different ages, and from 61 years old to as young as 4 years old. So that kind of shows you the range. There was only one woman who is that old, I think.
Yeah. There was some, like, in their mid-20s. Kind of an outlier. But, yeah.
Yeah. For the most part, younger. He also got away with this for a long period of time because he would choose his victims from neighboring towns. Most of his victims were strangled to death, which... The note says real personal shit.
It is. It's so fucking personal.
It is, but also, like, something I learned, I don't remember where, they said that, like, strangling someone actually takes, like, a tremendous amount of effort. So you have to be, like, strong enough to not only choke someone, but to hold it for a long period of time.
Yeah, because it takes, like, 5 fucking minutes to fully strangle someone. Maybe not quite that long.
Yeah, but, still, but like, on like, the shows, it's 30 seconds and it's done.
Yeah, because and, like, it is personal because you literally are holding them while their body is dying and everything. And, like, you see them die.
Yeah, which he definitely got off on that.
Oh, yeah.
Because... he was also a necrophiliac and committed sexual acts with the victims when they were either unconscious or already dead. So he didn't usually have sex with them when they were alive because he preferred them to not be able to protest in any way because he's a terrible human being.
Yeah.
He enjoyed having sex with those who could not resist him, like I just said. After having sex with the bodies, he often mutilated them, which was usually to take home pieces of the person with them. Like, instead of having a golden ring, he would take a literal piece of their flesh so he could eat it.
It was like their trophies.
Yeah. After returning home, he also had a rubber sex doll that he would use to reenact his murders and get off on them all over again. Which... they've, like, found a bunch of sex dolls, I think, when they raided his house. And he would, like, choke the sex doll out while jerking off onto it at the same time.
Yeah, like, he would basically do to these sex dolls what he just did.
So, it was horrible.
Going a little bit more in-depth with the actual murders, his first murder happened on February 8th of 1955, which is just 3 weeks after his mother died.
Yeah, that's a pretty large coincidence if it's not why it happened.
Exactly. So, again, excuse us for the pronunciation of these names.
I think it's Ermgard.
That's what I think. Okay.
But it's written like that meme that says Ermgard.
Yes, yeah. Because of the hurricane.
Yeah.
Because we're from Florida.
And Irma wrecked our shit.
And so we make memes of hurricanes. So, Ermgard Strell was 19 years old, and she was walking down the street when she was lured away into a barn by Kroll, who promised her this precious gift. Once they got to the barn, she was then attacked, raped, strangled, and stabbed to death. And her disemboweled body was found in a barn in Ludenshausen five days later.
I think you're doing a great job. I'm gonna be even worse. So his next murder was 4 years later, so he had a cooling off period between that first one, and that happened on June 16th of 1959. He murdered Clara Frieda Tesmer, who was 24 years old at the time of her death. She was murdered in the meadows of the Rhine near Rheinhausen. Kroll remembered and told 17 years later that he grabbed her by the arm and she reacted poorly to this. Which,
what,
like,
a surprise.
Yeah. Anyone's going to react poorly to that, my guy. He then hit her head against, and a struggle ensued, which ended up with her rolling down. Oh, wait, I'm very confused by this note.
Do you want...
He then hit her head against the head He then hit her against the head.
There you go.
And the struggled.
Struggled.
I don't know why.
That is my bad.
No, that threw me off so badly and it really shouldn't have. Okay. Let's try that again.
Rewind.
He then hit her against the head and they struggled, rolling down the road, trying to undress her until he ended the fight by strangling her again, because that's his motive. Her naked body was found the next day by five boys riding their bikes. A mechanic, Henrik Ott, was arrested for the crime, and he hanged himself in jail because he couldn't handle being in jail for this.
And a lot of people, like, because he got away with it for 21 years, like, were arrested for these crimes, and a lot of them killed themselves, which is kind of weird.
Suspicious, almost.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But also, it's hard because if he told the cops later that he grabbed her by the arm and she reacted poorly, is that his only thing different than what the police, like, actually said? Because some serial killers do lie once they're already in prison to make their numbers higher.
Yeah.
But
that's true.
I mean, it's hard to say. These men could have just been killing themselves because they couldn't live with the shame of being falsely accused. People have done weirder things.
I mean, probably in the, like, late 1950s, jail is probably also terrible, and they don't want to live in it. But this one is, like, I feel as though he does a couple in a row and then waits a couple years and then does a couple in a row. Because this next one was only a month later.
Yeah. Well, like, a lot of the time they say that there's, like, a cooling off period after the first one. And then the urge comes again. And then they murder someone. And each time the cooling off period is supposed to be smaller.
Yeah.
So, like, the first time he killed one person. The second time he killed two people quickly, but then waited another, like, 2-3 years before he murdered again.
Yeah.
So, that's my 2 cents.
So, the next murder, again, happened just a month later on July 26th of 1959, who he killed Manuela Knott. She was 16, and she was raped and strangled in the city park of Essen. Slices of her flesh were carved from her buttocks and thighs like a fucking roast pig.
Yeah, because he's a piece of shit.
Yeah. And this part gets a little gross. After mutilating the body, he masturbated basically over the body and left large quantities. This is... like, large quantities of semen on the face, hair, and genitals of this now dead body. And the amount of semen left at the scene originally made cops think that it was, like, more than one person, that it was a gang of people that murdered this girl, because, like, he had to have masturbated multiple times in order to make that much fucking semen.
Yeah.
So he had to have been there. Like...
or maybe he just has... I don't know. That should be disgusting, but, like, just...
has a lot of semen.
Yeah. But I mean, that's still fucking disgusting, like, that they thought there was more than one person involved because you're nasty.
Mm-hmm. He then took home the pieces of the body that he cut off and cooked and ate them. And this is kind of where they think the cannibalism started. And another man confessed to this murder and was sentenced to 8 years in prison. Imagine 8 years for fucking murder. Right now, you can get 8 years for having a gram of weed in your pocket.
Like, yeah, or in some states, you could, you know, go to prison for life for having an abortion.
Yeah.
But it's fine. Everything's fine.
Or giving an abortion.
Yeah.
Welcome to Politics, the podcast.
That's all we have to say about that. Back to the murder.
For now.
So, like we were talking about earlier, there's another cooling off period. He doesn't murder again until 1962, and his victim is Barbara Bruder, who is 12 years old, and she is abducted in Burscheid. She was on her way to the playground where it is suspected that she took a shortcut where Kroll was waiting for her, which happens a lot with serial killers. They just, like, lie in wait in little shortcuts that people take. Which is so fucked up. Let me have my shortcut without having to fear for my life.
Exactly. And also, like, once we get to the end, it'll be a little more obvious. But a lot of these children are, like, in their early teens or what, like 12, 13 years old.
Yeah.
And they're all walking home by themselves, going to the fair by themselves, going in the woods by themselves. And I'm like, where are your fucking parents?
I know it's the 60s. I was going to say, it's the 50s and 60s, Sarah.
I know, but where are your parents? No one's
parents. I literally, when I was 11 and 12, I wasn't alone, but I was with Harley, Sarah, and Lindsay. And we used to walk down to the park in her neighborhood every weekend when we hung out. And we were walking back, like, on a main road. And, well, not a main road. Like, within the neighborhood, yeah. The main road that people drive down. And this man, like, this truck with this Mexican man in the driver's seat, tried to get us to get into his car.
That's fucking nuts.
We started sprinting to her house. And he pulled and, like, started following us. So,
nuts.
Even in the mid-2000s, my parents are still letting me run around. Actually, I don't know if my parents really knew that. We were at a friend's house, but probably not.
With her parents home, and you were in bed by 9 p.m.
Yes, that's what we were actually doing. So sorry. Okay, rant over, just saying. But yes, in the 50s and 60s, really up until the mid-2000s, yeah. People just, like, let their kids chill all the time. So, Barbara Bruder's body was never found, unfortunately. Kroll confessed to this murder, but was never convicted of it. So, technically, she's not on his list, but she is. And he claims that he strangled and raped her as well.
So, the next one happens the same year. He has three in the same year. And this is in April 23rd of 1962. And he kills Petra Geese, who is 13 years old. And he raped and strangled her with her own scarf in the forest in this city that I cannot pronounce.
Dinsklavenbrukhausen.
That's going to be the best thing that happens.
That accent. I didn't even mean to go into an accent. It just happened.
We're just going to put that on a loop because it was really good. So, in that place, after killing her, he took his knife and cut off sections of the girl's hand, arm, and buttocks. Like, I feel like this is where he's, like, tasting different cuts of meat.
Yeah, he's a fucking piece of trash. Of course, he would do that.
Who was it Ed Kemper that, like, tasted the different pieces of meat and, like, rated them
or something? I don't remember who that was, but yes, people have done that in the past who are cannibals, and they're terrible, basically. Yeah.
And her body was found the next day in bushes with her ripped red dress lying next to her. Remember, 13 years old. And Vizenz Kuhn, who was a pedophile and sex offender, was arrested and convicted, and he was sentenced to 12 years for this, but only served 6.
Again, for rape and murder by strangulation.
Yes. Of a child.
Like, granted, he didn't do it, I guess. He could have done it, he could not have, but...
But rape, even murder, so, and mutilation of a child.
Yeah.
6 years.
It's fine. Everything's fine. Am I doing the next one? Is that why you're... Yep. Mm-hmm. Okay. So, the next murder that happens in 1962 is on the 4th of June. He attacks Monica Taffel, who is 12 years old, and was last seen on her way to school before she was found. She was killed in Walsum. And her body was found on June 11th by a police helicopter in the woods. Damn, in the 60s? Mm-hmm. Slices of flesh were carved from her thighs and buttocks again. And some say that he consumed some of this raw flesh at the scene of the murder. It's not confirmed. But if he did, that's disgusting.
Yeah.
It's all disgusting, but that's even more disgusting.
I feel like he knew, like... By this time, he was like, the thighs and the butt are the way to go.
Yeah, I mean, those are the meatiest part of your bodies, regardless. So, That makes sense. That's what you cut off of any other animal, is the booty and the thighs.
Ayo. As Morgan slaps,
I'm trying to see if you can pick up my thigh slap on
them. Very much can.
Cool, we're gonna leave that in.
I'm wearing jeans, so that doesn't work for me.
So Walter Quicker was a local pedophile, again, a theme we have throughout these crimes, right. And is arrested for the crime. He is released, but is driven by neighbors to suicide in October by hanging himself from a tree in the very same woods. So he was released, but his neighbors made him feel so bad about this murder, yeah, even like, though it wasn't him.
The people in the shops wouldn't serve him, like, yeah. He couldn't go anywhere in public, and...
Which, if you thought someone was a pedophile and murderer, you would probably do the same, but it's just sad that...
Oh, yeah, definitely. You know what I mean? So, his next murder happened 3 years later, and it's kind of, it's different from all the other murders. So, this was August 22nd of 1965. This is two people.
Yeah.
It's Herman Schmitz, who is 25, and his girlfriend, Marianne Beam. So, they were doing the deed in a car in Lover's Lane in Duisburg.
That is not confirmed. They were on a Lover's Lane.
Yes, they were in the car doing what kids do in Lover's Lane. Okay, he was in his 20s. Like,
oh, no, I understand, but I don't want to be slandering these people.
He was at least getting the handy. But they're sitting in the car, and Kroll sees them and takes out his long-ass butcher knife and pops one of the tires on the car with it. And Herman comes out to investigate. And I have to sneeze so bad.
That's okay.
When Herman comes out to investigate, Kroll stabs him multiple times in the heart. Marianne then managed to jump into the driver's seat of the car and escape uninjured. She started blaring the horn and tried to run Kroll over, but he escaped.
Damn.
She then held her boyfriend in her arms while he died, and this was Kroll's only male victim. But also... she clearly saw him if she tried to run him over. Like, they got no description of him.
I don't know. Maybe she was, like, so frenzied that she didn't see him.
And I mean, it was also nighttime, but I feel like that would be the perfect opportunity for a
They probably didn't have their lights on.
That's true.
If they were at a Lover's Lane. You want to be discreet about it, not leave your lights a-blaring saying, hey,
check
we out here kissing. So... his next murder was a year later, and it happened in September 1966, September 13th, to Ursula Rawling, who was 20 years old. She was strangled in Forsterbush Park near Marl. That's as good as that's gonna get.
Yep.
Her body was found 2 days later, hidden in some bushes, naked from the waist down with her legs spread apart. Kroll said, I saw this woman in the park. She was young with short hair. I spoke to her and then grabbed her around the neck with my right arm. I dragged her into the bushes and threw her on the ground. I choked her until she stopped moving. Then I took off her pants and her other things and I did it to her. I left her lying there and took the train back to Duisburg. When I got home, I was still hot and I had it with the doll and did it with my hand a couple of times.
Like, the way he speaks about, like, women and his bodies, like...
yeah.
You can tell he's clearly uneducated. Like,
I did it to her.
Yeah. Like, did what to her?
Yeah. Her boyfriend, Adolf Schickel, which, I get it, it was the 50s, but Adolf is just a truly unfortunate name.
Oh, yeah.
He committed suicide by jumping off of a bridge into the main river after being falsely accused of the crime and then released. So, again, the people in the part, like, in the, like, city, whatever, town, were all just, like, shitting on him because they thought he was wrongfully released. And this was all because he was the last person to be seen with her on a date in an ice cream parlor. So... he didn't see her afterwards, but he was blamed for the rape and murder.
And his next murder happened 3 months later to Ilona Hark.
Sure.
Ilona Hark.
That's a pretty name.
That's what we're going with. And she was the youngest victim yet, and she was only 5 years old. She was raped and drowned in a ditch in Wuppertal. She was abducted from Essen, and Kroll took her by train, bus, and then ventured with her about 500 meters through the bushes until he reached this ditch. Her body was raped after she was dead.
Which, some fucking miracle light at the end of the rainbow, yeah, type at least he shit waited till with she this. Was dead. Yeah.
And basically, he said that he did it because he wanted to know what it'd be like to drown someone.
Piece of shit.
Exactly. And so people originally thought that her death was an accidental drowning until her autopsy showed otherwise. And also her being drowned was another reason that the police didn't think this murder was connected to the others, because no one else was drowned.
But also, accidental drowning, but she's been taken away from where she was in Essen by a train and a bus and then taken through some bushes.
I mean, but even could be taken on the same day.
No, I know, but they're like, oh, this 5-year-old got all the way across town by herself and then accidentally drowned? Is that what we're going with the 5-year-old?
Right.
Is that the story?
And of course, you know, this happened 3 days before Christmas.
Those always make me sad. Like, right before or the day of Christmas. Just, like, real rust. So, the next murder happens. No, not murder. So sorry. This one.
This one's a little different.
Is not the murder. So, on June 22nd of 1967, we have a could-be kidnapping? I had the word in my head and it left my head.
It was definitely an assault.
A potential kidnapping, it resulted in assault.
Yeah.
So, Gabriel Pootman?
Pootman.
Pootman. Pootman. Haha.
Are you making a pooter joke? Like
I don't know, pooting, farting, it's dumb, it's bad, it's not good. So Gabriel Putnam, 10 years old, was lured into a meadow by Kroll and shown pornographic pictures. She then tried to run, but Kroll started to choke her. He got scared and ran away when he heard sirens around him. He didn't realize that she was still alive. He thought that he had ended up fully strangling her, but 'twas not the case. And her parents didn't report the crime until 9 years later after Kroll's arrest.
Which is fucking nuts.
That means, like, did she tell her parents immediately?
Yeah, and they were just like, oh, you're fine, you're making it up kind of thing.
Why would any child ever make something up like that? Truly ask
so
yourself.
So angry.
Unless your child is in a situation where they feel like they have to make up an absurd story like that in order to get your attention. Children don't make things up like that.
I'm angry. It is angering. So, we've got 2 years later. July 12th, 1969. Ayo. Sorry. So, this was also another different thing. And this was Maria Hettengig. Hetken.
Sure.
I don't know. Maria Hetken. She was 61 years old, so she was the oldest victim, and by a large margin.
I'm sorry.
You're fine. She was raped and strangled at Hukiswagen?
Sure.
Hukiswagen?
Great.
Whatever. Looks great. There's lots of umlauts in there, and I'm good.
There's one umlaut.
I just really lots like the word them. Umlaut, okay?
It is a great word.
So, Kroll was out on a day trip to Baldini Lake when he met Maria. And he got a tingling feeling all over, in air quotes, but you can't see that. He tried talking her up and kind of flirting with her, but she declined him, obviously. And so he hit her, and they fell into some bushes where he raped and murdered her, and her body was found the next day.
Jesus Christ.
And I think, like, this was more of, like, a public place, so he couldn't, like, cut pieces of her flesh off.
Yeah.
So he just had to strangle her.
Yeah, he's definitely just the fucking worst.
Right?
So his next victim happens on today, May 21st in 1970, also my mom's birthday.
Nice. Happy birthday to Jackie.
Yep. Good job. Happy birthday, Jacqueline. Her formal name.
Yeah.
And my nephew.
Which, you have too many. I can't name
it's
them.
It's Brian.
Happy birthday, Brian, who should never, ever listen to this.
No, he should never, ever listen to this. I don't know if my family will know this exists. Who knows?
Thursday is Corey's mom's birthday. There's so many birthdays.
So many birthdays. So this victim was Judah? J-U-T-T-A.
I don't know how to do... I only took French.
Yeah, I took Spanish, so I don't know what... So Judah Ron, 13 years old, was strangled while walking home from a train station, and she was also taking a shortcut through the woods. It was said that Kroll was most likely on the same train when he spotted her and then followed her off of the train. So a very opportunistic killing.
Mm-hmm.
Peter Schley, her neighbor, was arrested and then eventually released. He confessed to the crime in 1966 after being hounded by his neighbors, but was released after serving 15 months due to lack of evidence. So,
again, that does, the neighbors.
Yeah. That does happen a lot, though, where, like, people will just admit to things because they're tired of people, like, hounding them.
And this is also, like, a time where people actually talked to their neighbors.
Yeah.
And so, like, having all of your neighbors against you could honestly really hinder you in life and not just be like, ugh, my next-door neighbor sometimes
is
smokes
annoying.
Weed in the porch. Yeah. Like. So, after that, there's a pretty long break of 6 years. And the next person he kills is Karen Topher. And she is 10 years old. And she was raped and strangled in Vorde while on her way home from school again. And Kroll was actually never convicted of this murder. And that's all we have on her, which is
sad. Yeah. And then his last victim, which we also don't have a ton of information on, which is also very sad, happened July 3rd of 1976. And this happened to sweet baby Marion Ketter, who was only 4 years old.
So his definite youngest victim.
Yeah. Prior to that, I think it was 5. Just terrible shit for my guy, Hakeem. Joaquin?
With a W? Yeah. Joaquin. I mean, it's spelt with a J, but it's pronounced like a W.
Yeah. So, Marion Ketter was abducted the day before he was found to be the guy. We don't even know, like, how it came about that they searched his home.
Well, it was because of the neighbor, like, so...
Oh, wait, yes, it was because of that neighbor. Never mind. We do know why. So sorry, we'll get into it more later. I forgot that this was this guy, because I've been reading a bunch of different shit recently, so I'm getting them all confused. So sorry. Marion Ketter was 4 years old when she was murdered, and parts of her body were in the process of being simmered when Kroll was arrested. We don't know a ton about her murder, so we're just not going to go into anything like that.
Yeah. So, this is actually the murder that really got Joaquin Kroll, like, captured.
Yeah.
So, he got bold with his last victim, Marion, and he actually took, she was from his neighborhood.
Oh, yeah, that's why.
Like, she was one of the neighborhood girls he, like, hung out with and gave candy to and played with dolls.
Which, an adult man should never be friends with your 4-year-old child unless you are related to them.
Exactly.
Just a thought.
Yep.
Just.
No, you're
just
right.
Just a thought.
So, police were going around the neighborhood and going home to home, trying to find information about this missing little girl. And The police stop by Kroll's neighbor's house, and Kroll's neighbor tells him a strange story about the... This is, like, they were in, I'm assuming, apartments, because they shared an upstairs toilet.
Yeah.
And so the toilet was clogged and wasn't working, and he asked Kroll what was wrong, and Kroll said that there were guts blocking the pipe.
Just casual.
I mean, like, if you're trying to be sarcastic or something, but it's just like, ha, it's just guts.
You know? I don't feel like Kroll would know how to be sarcastic, so his attempt at sarcasm would be like, it's just guts.
Yeah.
Stares it's into guts. Your eyes for too long.
So police took this seriously and went to Kroll's apartment and had a plumber take apart the toilet. So in the toilet, they found this poor girl and her body cut up, as well as multiple internal organs from different people, including a heart, a pair of lungs, and two kidneys. They even found Marion's hand cooking on the stove in a pot with potatoes and carrots, like he was making a fucking stew.
Yeah.
And they also looked in the fridge, where they found even more cut up pieces of the child to be eaten later, which is just fucking sad to find a child that way.
Can you imagine being one of the police officers who was, like, there that day?
It's like you throw up and you walk away and you never get over it.
Yeah. Like, what's his name? Who had, like, a pot full of boiling dicks on his fucking, literally, on his stove when the police came in.
Oh. I don't know who you're talking about.
Yes, you do.
Okay.
Dahmer.
Okay. I also like, when fucking John Wayne Gacy invited the police into his house with, like, the rotting smell of flesh, and they're like, what's that? And he's like, I'm making fish sticks.
Yeah, like, I fucking hate these people.
I know.
So, his actual trial and death. The good parts.
The decent parts.
So, Kroll admits to killing Marion Ketter, and also gave details of 13 other murders and one attempted murder over the previous two decades. His trial took 151 days and didn't start up until 1982, which was 6 years after he was arrested, which, like...
Like, now we're into the eight. Like, this has been a long time.
Yes. Also, you have the right to a speedy trial, my guy. Why the fuck is it taking 6 years?
Not anymore. Not back then.
I think always. I think that was a tenet of American society. I could be wrong. But Kroll told investigators that he often took portions of his victim's flesh to save on his grocery bill because meat was in short supply and very expensive during this time. I'm sorry, but everyone else is in the same fucking boat as you, and they're not killing people in order to get meat. Also, you're only taking small amounts of meat from each victim. Really harvest that shit if that's going to be your fucking excuse. Like,
be like the fucking, like, hunters and gatherers back in the day where they use every piece of the cow or the sheep or the goat and
fucking use that shit. If that's going to be your fucking excuse, that is how you have to treat the bodies.
You know, become Ed Gein. Make a face lamp.
No,
I'm listening to the Ed Gein episode of Ocula No Filler right now. And,
it's not good. He believed that while he was in custody, he was actually just going to get a simple operation to cure him of his homicidal urges. Same. And then would be released from prison.
Like, that's not what I need. It's just a cure for my homicidal
urges. I have to pee so badly, Sarah, and I know we're so close to being done, but I've had to pee for the last 30 minutes. Now, we can resume. So I can get these three sentences. But we have, like, Florida Man in our ending, so it's fine. Everything's fine.
You got this.
So, even though he, like, confessed all of these murders and everything, he was convicted of 8 murders and 1 attempted murder, not the full 13 that he had said to complete.
Mm-hmm.
He was convicted on all counts and given a life sentence in April of 1982, And then he died of a heart attack in 1991 in the prison of Rheinbeck. And
I mean, so he only lasted 9 years in prison.
Yeah. Which I don't really...
I mean, he had to have been in prison for the 6 years before his trial started.
Yeah, for sure.
But, like, you know, that's not enough time for all the shit he did.
No, it's not. And I'm doing the math. He was only 58 when he died. So,
oh, wow.
It's not like, I don't know. He just had a heart attack.
And like, seeing pictures of him, he was...
He's a creepy looking man. Yeah, like, very scary.
I don't remember what fucking movie it was, but there's a movie where a guy's like the turtle guy.
Yes.
And that's what he
fucking... I was going to say he looks like a turtle. Yeah, so, he does. I mean, we're on the same fucking wavelength, my guy.
All right. So apart from all that sad, tragic shit.
Yeah.
It's time for our Florida man story.
Give us that Florida man. Cheer us up.
So... Here is our title of the article today. Nice. I don't know how much I'm going to read into the actual article, but I think you'll really sum it up from the title.
Yeah.
And this happened January 7th of this year. Florida man denies the syringes found in his rectum are his.
Same, honestly.
And so, a guy named Wesley Scott, 40 years old, was arrested in Pinellas County and for having an outstanding warrant against drug possession. What a fucking surprise.
Yeah. Manatee County?
Pinellas.
Oh, yeah.
And after he went to jail, they strip searched him.
Right.
And they found 3 syringes in his rectum.
That's too many syringes to keep in your rectum. I'm just going to call it.
My favorite sentence is... The guy claimed he found the syringes, but they were not his. He could not explain how they wound up in his butthole. It says buttocks, but buttholes.
No, buttholes, what the police officer said.
And so now he's being charged with an additional count of introducing contraband into the jail because he
found his butthole. God damn.
That's crazy. So, yeah, that's... It's a good Florida man story.
That's absolutely ridiculous. Florida, what are you doing?
What are you doing, 40-year-old man? You got a whole other half of a life to live.
Maybe. Not if he's hiding syringes in his butt.
That's true.
Well, we did it. Another week done.
Yeah, thanks for listening to episode 5 with us. We also did not say what episode it was earlier. So this is episode 5.
Which it was Joaquin... Kroll. So if you want to reach out to us, we haven't said this on any of our other podcasts, I don't think. Please download our episodes.
Yes.
And like, follow, comment, whatever you do.
Do everything you can.
Comment 5 stars. We're hilarious. 5 stars. You hate us. Just
yep.
5s all around.
5 stars if we're regardless. The best. 5 stars if we're the worst. We're just trying here,
just
you know.
Just trying it
we're
out.
We're in the spare bedroom of a 2-bedroom apartment, just trying to be funny just and talk about stuff that interests us.
Sitting next to a litter box, inhaling the smell of cat
but
urine.
But you're also sitting next to a nice guitar.
That's true.
So, I mean, and you're drinking some vodka. It's
all good. Yeah. But do that because that's also important. But if you want to get in contact with us, reach out, see what we're doing. Fucking go to Crime Binge Podcast for Instagram, right?
Mm-hmm.
And go to Crime Binge at Twitter.
Yes, ma'am.
And then if you want to reach out to us, tell us some stories, give us some fun facts, hit us up at crimebinge@gmail.com, right?
Simple enough.
Wow. Look at us go.
Look at us go. Again, if you've ever eaten dinner with a murderer, please send us that story.
Yes. If you know that you've eaten dinner with a murderer.
Or if you find out that person's a murderer afterwards.
That's true. I don't know why you would know you were eating dinner with a murderer, but my brain says me that's reasonable. My brain says me that's reasonable. And this has been Crime Binge
also
with Morgan
your
the Dumbass.
Is down.
Yeah, it is. I peed real quick, remember?
You did.
I tried to hurry.
But, you know, keep on binging.
Keep on binging.
Do your thing.
We'll see you next week. Bye.
Bye.